As announced, we have a visiting speaker this morning, Brother Adam Stark from the Livonia, Michigan Ecclesia, and looking forward to hearing his words of encouragement this morning. Brother Adam.
All right, well, good morning, everyone. It is so lovely to be here, and I bring with me the loving greetings of your dear brothers and sisters in the Livonia, Michigan Ecclesia in the States. And having arrived here in BC last night, I'm full of energy and super excited to be able to share some of the lessons from our third portion reading derived from God's Word. So this morning, the goal is to reflect on trials in life and how we can use God's kingdom as to motivate us through trials, to use the reward of life eternal, the crown of life, as fuel to thrive in trials. Ask yourself, when presented with trials, how can I still reach forth my hand and grab hold of the crown of life eternal? Do I earnestly desire for that day in God's kingdom? Do my actions show this desire? The general structure will be as follows. First, we will need to identify what is a trial and the purpose of a trial. Then we'll go through our perspective on the trials we face. And then finally, we'll workshop on how to thrive in trials. Keep in the back of your mind of how the crown of life plays a role in helping us face trials. So let's get right into it. What is a trial? In order to understand what a trial is, we'll need to get to do some digging into some Greek words in Scripture with the intent to divide words relevant to trial. Two words that commonly appear in the Bible are trial and temptation. Intuitively, it makes sense for these two to be related. And what I would like to suggest from looking into the Greek words is that temptation is a form of trial, or in other words, temptation is a trial. And if you look up the word temptation, it only occurs in the New Testament. And there's only one Greek word for it. It's pyrosmos. This same Greek word is also translated as trial. If you could, please turn to 1 Timothy 6, as we'll be looking at that passage of Scripture quite a bit. And if you look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, depending on the King James this one is in 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, it says, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. And that word temptation is that Greek word that we were discussing. And that can also be translated as trial. Or if you consider James 1 verse 2, it says to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials. You need to be able to use the context of this Greek word, and a good example of it being temptation is in Galatians 4 verse 14, where Paul discusses the trial in his flesh. That provides a pretty good working definition for us of what temptation truly is as a trial of the flesh. To further prove the point, a study you can do on your own time is search up the word tempted. There are three occurrences in the Old Testament, an interesting study on its own, but if you look at the following 15 uses in the New Testament, try to evaluate the Greek word for tempted, and you will find all 15 occurrences, it's the same word, yet different from pyrosmos. Look a little further and you'll find the word Greek word for tempted is the root word for temptation. This may seem redundant, but it's a further proof of the connections in Scripture, and that each word is intentionally used. The next word to define trial is trial, and it's mostly pyrosmos, but there are two other occurrences in the New Testament that each use a slightly different Greek word, both conveying the same principle. To summarize what a trial is, and what we've discussed so far, is that temptation is a trial, and there's only one Greek word for it. And its root word is the only Greek word for tempted. Having defined relevant words to trial, let's then define what a trial is, and then transition into the purpose of a trial. So turn with me really quickly to James chapter 1 while having a finger in 1 Timothy 6. James 1, verses 2 to 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The definition of a trial is that it's a testing of one's faith, a period of time that allows for God to gauge where we're at when facing a certain difficulty. It's also a time for us to reflect on where we're at. As we go through more passages, evaluate and decide if this is a valid definition. Also think to a current trial you're working through. To name a few, finances, big decisions, losing someone we've loved, familial situations from raising children to family feuds, temptation, feeling a sense of belonging, and so on. The purpose of trials is to prove one's character, a refining process to remove the dross, the impurities, from life. Being in the refining fire will be hot, yet not consumed, to where afterward we are better off than before, to be made pure, as Peter alludes to in his first epistle, that the trying of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Thinking to Daniel's three friends, when they bowed not to Nebuchadnezzar, when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, which is very relevant for the Sunday school, yet not consumed. Despite being in the scorching fire that was heated seven times greater than it normally was, they could walk out of the fire unsinged, unharmed, with not a smell of smoke on them. They were refined, and how? Because of their faith in God and God's presence with them via his angel. This was possible because of the trial that they faced. Every metal, whether it's as valuable and rare as gold or as common as iron, starts off as an ore or a chunk of rock. Think of yourself before a trial or a testing period. There's great potential, yet a lot of impurity remains to be removed from the surface. Then the metal is put through the fire to remove the impurity or excess, so that the valued metal, whether gold or iron, is purified and then put to use. That's the purpose of each trial. To be put through a process, a challenging yet bearable process, to be refined, and for our God-given value to be put to use. Consider Numbers 31, verses 22 to 23. Remember, we're defining the purpose of a trial. It reads, "Only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that can endure fire, you shall put through the fire, and it shall be clean." To further prove that the purpose of a trial is to prove or refine one's character, consider this brief exercise by looking at two passages in Scripture. Recall how I stated that there are two other Greek words for trial, and one of them is found in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2, where it reads that in a great trial of affliction. And a good cross-reference that would be helpful in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2 for that word trial is in Philippians 2, verse 22. And it's translated as proven character. And so Philippians 2, verse 22, as proven character. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. The purpose of trial is to prove one's character, a refining process to remove the dross, the impurities in life. This was demonstrated in the example of Daniel's three friends, the analogy made in Numbers 31, and the brief word exercise that we just went through. This life is a proving ground to prepare for his kingdom, and every trial is an opportunity to further prepare for that kingdom. Having defined what a trial is and its purpose, let's move on. Recall the structure. Having defined what a trial and its purpose, we'll then look at how to view trials, and then how to thrive in trials. So, how to view trials. Every trial will have its challenges, and if they're meant to refine us, we then need to have the right perspective in each trial we face, to allow each trial to change us, so how should we view trials? This can be done with a simple vocabulary switch, by viewing a trial as a learning opportunity instead of some terrible thing. To view a trial as something positive that will help, not hinder us. And oftentimes, if we don't have the right perspective or haven't learned from past trials, God tends to work in patterns to make the lesson clear. So if you begin to wonder why the same thing keeps happening, this should immediately flip a switch in your mind that this is a clear learning opportunity that God is trying to teach. So if there's a pattern of inconvenience or a pattern of challenge, this must be viewed as an opportunity to learn and be better equipped for God's kingdom. After viewing each trial as a learning opportunity, look for God's presence in the trial and know that God is all-powerful. Reflect on his character, knowing that each trial is not his way to get back at us, but to get from us, a refined character that is one step closer to his own. Daniel's three friends had the angel alongside them in the furnace, but they also told Nebuchadnezzar, "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." God has the power to save. He is able to deliver at any moment. Also, we too have God's angels in our lives. Find great comfort in God's presence through his angels and him presenting trials to help us learn to be more like him is all done out of God's love for us. Isn't that amazing? Trials help us to learn to be more like our Creator with the outlook to prepare us for his kingdom. Trials are proof of God's love, and we know he is present in it all. As a father chastens his child, so does our Heavenly Father with us. Keep in mind that God is for you, not against you, and that if God is for us, then who can be against us? God is faithful, who keeps his promises. Trials are meant to prove one's character and for one to be refined. It will be challenging at times, yet we know God provides a way of escape from when it seems too challenging, and that God presents situations that he knows we can overcome through his strength. The perspective needs to be, thank you, God, for this learning opportunity. I pray for your strength to see you at work and to learn from the situation. To reinforce what's been discussed, consider Romans 5, verses 3 to 4. It reads, "We also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope." The trials we face produces our character, a character that's refined, which gives us hope. God is already certain that we can overcome each trial. If we keep the right perspective and take action on our faith, we can successfully learn and fulfill the true purpose of trials, to have our character refined and our hope strengthened. To summarize what we've discussed so far, view each trial as a learning opportunity. Look for God's presence in the trial and know that God is all-powerful, that he is able to deliver. By having the right perspective, God can refine us to be more like him. So when faced with a trial, we can say, thank you, God, for this learning opportunity. I pray for your strength to see you at work and to learn from the situation. Each trial is done out of God's love. Find great comfort in this. And another helpful verse to conclude what our perspective should be is in 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, where it says, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, understanding the perspective to take in each trial, let's consider the application. How can we thrive in trials? We've been alluding to it the whole time. If the purpose of each trial is to refine our character and further prepare us for God's kingdom, and the perspective to take is to view each trial as a learning opportunity to prepare for God's kingdom, the best way to thrive, not just survive each trial, is to have a motivation to overcome. That motivation is God's kingdom, the hope of everlasting life, to strive for the crown of life. Rereading some questions posed in the beginning. When presented with trials, how can I still reach forth my hand and grab hold of the crown of life? Do I earnestly desire for that day in God's kingdom? Do my actions show this desire? God's kingdom is exciting, a time of great joy. Our trials are actively preparing us for his kingdom. Having that as our perspective should help to fuel us through each trial, to not only get through, but to get from each trial and learn. It presents a good foundation to have. And in 1 Timothy 6, verse 19, if you're not already there, please look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 19, which states, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Being excited for God's kingdom presents the foundation for us to have joy in each trial faced, to face trials with smiles. The theme of rejoicing through sufferings, to have joy in every trial, is picked up throughout Scripture. A few examples include James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, and 1 Peter 1, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Think of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. They were beaten and thrown in prison after healing a certain servant girl. Yet, while imprisoned, it records in verse 25 of Acts 16 that they prayed and sung hymns to God at midnight. They were in so much pain. Their feet were fastened at the ankles with shackles. And in this trial, they had smiles and counted it joy to worship God. The results of them having this perspective in their trial led to the prison doors being opened through a great earthquake. God delivered them, and they kept the right perspective in the trial. More often, there will be trials presented for longer periods, or even a lifetime, a limitation, an illness, a condition, a sinful desire that may seem like they will never go away, that no progress has been made. Thought may appear of, how can I keep the right perspective if it never goes away? We know temptation is a form of trial, but reflect in your own life. What trials are you currently facing? It's helpful to be more specific with identifying your own trials and to think of the trials of others when praying. For those struggling with finances, to pray to have enough, but not too much. Those who are apart from loved ones, that they may find comfort in God's word, and that they will be reunited soon. Those struggling to fit in, to be encouraged to come to ecclesial events and fellowship with others. For those who are uncertain where life may take them or what decision to make, to know God is our guide and will complete the work which he has started in us. For those mourning the loss of those we love, knowing that we have a living hope, where in the time to come all tears will be wiped away from our eyes. For those who feel the need to conform to the world, to a particular sin, that we can rely on our ecclesial family for accountability and for God to be our rock. Those working through familial situations to keep God at the center and to prepare the upcoming generations. Looking into Scripture helps present comfort in any trial we face. And in James 1, verses 5 to 6, it reads, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Ask God for help, for strength. Ask in faith and believe that he will help guide through each trial. Think back to Daniel's three friends. They knew that God was able to deliver them and that God was present while they were in the fire. Learn to be content. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Each trial is challenging, but we have much to be grateful for. God has provided for us in so many ways, one of them being his kingdom. Always have his kingdom in the front of your mind, to strive for the crown of life, to reach forth with outstretched arms and grab hold of the crown and never let go. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in in the presence of many witnesses. The way to thrive in trials is by keeping God at the center and his kingdom as the focus. To conclude, this morning we considered the trials in our life and how we can use the crown of life to motivate us to thrive in trials. We started off by discussing that temptation is a trial and went through the Greek to prove it. Trial can be defined as a testing of one's faith. The purpose of each trial is to prove or refine our character, a character closer to our Creator's. Each trial should be viewed as a learning opportunity. Look for God's presence in the trial and know that God is all-powerful, that he is able to deliver. By having the right perspective, God can refine us to be more like him. Find great comfort in that each trial it is done out of God's love. The way to thrive in trials is to be motivated to be in God's kingdom. Use the crown of life, everlasting life, to get from, not just through, each trial. To face trials with smiles. To count it all joy when a trial is presented. Each trial is unique, and the time it lasts varies. But one thing is certain. God is faithful, and he has promised us his kingdom. This was made possible through his Son, whom we come to remember now. Christ was tempted in all points as we are. Every single trial was faced head on. He can sympathize with our weaknesses, for he is our great high priest and king. He has presented us with a choice, life or death, a life in his kingdom or no life at all. The crown of life is in front of us now. Envision God's kingdom. Having the crown symbolize life eternal in God's kingdom, never let it go. Hold firm to the end, and when faced with trial, to smile at the future hope to come. Christ lived a perfect life of obedience, yet was put to death. He was then raised up from the dead. With the emblems in front of us, choose life, life eternal. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.